Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. The chats are open. We are live. Facebook, Getter, Rumble, the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. What's going on, everybody? We're getting close. We're getting close. Midterms are coming. November is coming. And the Democrats are still running around desperate as all hell. It's almost like you could smell the desperation from them. We had some interesting debates last night. This John Fetterman and Dr. Oz. I have some video clips we're going to get into, but yeah, I was talking to a lot of people today about this John Fetterman and a lot of mixed reviews. Not that he's a complete train wreck, because he is. I was getting into conversations today whether to feel bad for the guy. And I don't. I have made the determination that there is no feeling bad for John Fetterman. He had a stroke. I don't wish any ill will on the guy. I hope he has a full recovery. Obviously has some issues going on because of the stroke. Okay. He's the current lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. He is a politician. Not a very good one, not a good one at all. Has a horrible voting record, supports horrible things, let the prisoners out, you know, legalize hardcore drugs, drug dens for them to shoot up safe. Not a big fan of the police. Yes, I say screw Democrats as well, especially because of what they're doing to our communities, our cities, our states, and of course, the country. We're all desperately seeking truth. The chats are open. I see you all. Thanks for tuning in. Hit the share button, please, on Facebook. Subscribe on Rumble. Follow on Getter. Over on Truth Social, the Great Divide podcast over there on Truth Social. Hit the follow button. We have a country to save. November 8th, it begins. But there's a lot going on. All right, John Fetterman. If you saw clips, by now you have to have seen some clips from the debate. But back to feeling bad for the guy. Don't feel bad for him. There's no reason to feel bad for him. The Democratic Party does not give a crap about John Fetterman. They care about getting the seat, keeping the seat, no matter what. You know, one scenario that you could play is if this election goes south and goes way of the disgusting left, and Shapiro wins as governor against Doug Mastriano, which I don't believe is going to happen. I believe the people of Pennsylvania are tired of seeing what's going on, like a lot of people in America and a lot of people in these blue states and cities. But just for shits and giggles, this guy Shapiro wins and he's governor. John Fetterman wins and he is senator. And let's just say, you know, they don't care if John Fetterman is fit to serve, which we know he's not by just listening to him. He's not fit to serve. He's not fit to serve and represent the people of Pennsylvania. Not at all. But they don't care about that. They care about stacking the chips, holding on to the seat. Because if Shapiro is governor and John Fetterman has another stroke, God forbid, he passes away, or he's unfit to serve, they deem him that, and he resigns, Shapiro, as the governor, will appoint another Democrat, and they will retain that seat. To me, that's a worst-case scenario that they both win. I can't see how rational-thinking people would elect, especially after the debate last night, would vote for him. Let's do that now. So it's like it's basically a montage of all of the struggles from last night. He just could not articulate a sentence, a thought, a fact, an opinion, a response. And again, this is not this. Well, I think we're back. I think we're back completely. I don't know. I started talking about John Fetterman, Dr. Oz, and the live stream gets interrupted. If you're back, let me know you're back in the chat. Yep. This is the whole system just did a crash. So I know we're back on Facebook. We're not back on Rumble. And this is the Joys. We're getting back on Getter. And we're back on the Patriot Podcast Network. Yeah, this is what happens. So, yeah, you're right. All the good Democrats took to the right path and switched to Republican. All right. So, I don't know what happened there, but we're back. We're up and running. Which, by the way, reminds me, Facebook. Thank you, everybody. We just hit 40,000 followers today on the Facebook page. If you're not following the Facebook page and you're watching on, hit the follow button. It's The Great Divide 1776 on Facebook. So, all right. So, like I was saying, the worst case scenario that if Shapiro wins governor, Fetterman wins as senator, something happens to Fetterman, they still retain the seat. They'll just appoint another Democratic senator and retain that. Let's hope that doesn't happen. And like, I don't think rational thinking people at this point would vote for John Fetterman. Unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are not rational thinkers. And, you know, Dr. Oz was getting beaten up a little bit. I am not a huge fan of Dr. Oz, and I say that a lot. I really was not rooting for him in the primary at all. He doesn't appeal to the middle class to me, but I think he's coming around. I am hearing he's spending a lot of time with people all over the Commonwealth, talking to people, and people are happy about that. He's engaging. People are warming up to him. And at this time, we're in the game now to stack chips for the party that loves freedom, loves liberty, and despises communism and socialism. And that's the Republican Party. You know, whether you listen, and I hate rhinos like the next patriot. Cannot stand them. There's a lot of them. There's too many of them. But we need to start somewhere. And that's why, you know, we need to get out to the polls on election day. I am not a big fan of early voting. And I'm not a fan, of course, of mail-in voting. I really want everybody to, if you have to, take half a day, take a couple hours off, take the day off, do whatever you have to do to get online on election day and vote. I do not like election season. I am a big supporter and proponent of election day. That is the way it should be. That's how it 100% should be, without a doubt. Anyway, I do have a video that I'm going to queue up. I was going to do that before until we were rudely taken down, commies. I wonder if my assigned FBI agent sitting down the block in his flower delivery truck. You know, Pelosi said that they have a plan to win the election. Well, I wonder what that plan is. What's the plan to win the election, Nancy? We're going to lie, rig, and cheat. We know that as Democrats, right? We know that. We know they're going to try. We're the election deniers. Remember that. We're going to get into that, too, because, you know, Hillary Clinton has already started putting her election denial decorations up for 2024. She's already started. She put out a statement. We have the video clip of that. We're going to play that as well. Yes. Do not give any criminals your info and vote on election day. And unfortunately, if you're in like me, I'm in New York. We don't have voter ID laws, unfortunately. I think it's like only 11 states that have them, and I believe everybody should have them. All right, let's go back to retarded Shrek. Oh, yes, I just called him. I just called him retarded Shrek. John Fetterman, these are the struggles that he had last night in the debate, all kind of mashed up together, and you should be able to hear this no problem.
Hi, good night, everybody. And good this night, campaign everybody. Is all about to me is about they didn't pay the bills and it got her paid. Here's what I think we have to fight about inflation here right now. That's what we need to fight about inflation. We also be able to make more in Pennsylvania. When he had a choice to make his merchandise, the Oz label is on, he made it all in China. And how can a man, you know, with 10 gigantic mansions, you know, has unwilling to talk about a willing wage. Now, we all have to make sure that everyone that works is able to, that's the most American bargain. And I believe they he doesn't want to talk about having somebody having a living wage and having somebody able to survive. Roe v. Wade, for me, should be the law. What I support on Roe v. Wade. And I've always believed that the choice belongs women and their doctors. I believe the real doctors that I believe in, they all believe that I'm ready to be served. He keeps talking about Bernie Sanders living closer to anybody else in Pennsylvania for fracking to myself. I do support fracking, and I support fracking, and what? I stand, and I do support fracking.
He has never met an oil company that he doesn't swipe right about.
I ran to the mayor back in 2005. I'm the only person on this stage right now that has was successful. His family's company levied the largest fine for ingration hiring of immigrant illegals. He should sit this one out about in terms of what a secure border. I believe you know is right now is China. Everybody in Braddock, an overwhelmingly majority community of black community, all understood what happened. You know, they understood what happened. We need to make sure that Dr. Oz and the Republicans believe in cutting Medicare and Social Security. Dr. Oz would not support, and he would support cutting Medicare. To me, careers are revealed by your real underlying values. It's about supporting and helping, you know, young students to give them a break. I believe that supporting.
All right, let me just ask specifically.
Wow. I mean, what do you say to that? What do you say to that? It's wild. It's wild that people are actually advocating for him to represent them in Pennsylvania, because there are, you know, I'm big on the memes. All right. I literally troll all day looking for the best memes to share on the social media, especially the Facebook page, just to entertain all you people. Because I enjoy it. I enjoy the interaction. And I've been posting some memes about Fetterman, and actually people not attacking but criticizing me for making fun of the lump on his neck with the pumpkin and the mini pumpkin and this and that. You know, I have a dark sense of humor. If people don't like it, unfollow, unsubscribe. You know, I can't believe you're making fun of this guy and his cognitive abilities. Is this the guy you want representing you in the Senate? Is this the guy you want as your state senator? Because if you do, maybe you should check yourself into a mental institution as well. How can this individual survive on the Senate floor, whether it's they're debating on a very important vote that's going to affect the people of Pennsylvania and the people of America? This is the individual we want voting to go to war. We want him and Joey Bag of Donuts together voting if this country is going to go to war, if they're going to send our sons and daughters to die needlessly. We want these two at the helm deciding that. These two legislating. I mean, John Fetterman legislating for the people of Pennsylvania. And the whole fracking thing, I mean, literally speaking, he said a while back that he was against fracking completely. And now, of course, he's turning it around out of desperation. He realizes what he's up against. And the party is pushing him and pushing him and pushing him. His wife is pushing him. The party is pushing him. They're going to end up killing this guy. I'm shocked he hasn't had another stroke running for Senate. I mean, and then you have the White House. The White House saying Joe Biden believes John Fetterman is impressive and incredibly bright. I'm not surprised that Joe Biden would say that, or I should say, I'm not surprised that Joe Biden would be told and programmed to say that, because he didn't come up with that himself. Just like he didn't come up to sit with some transgender moron influencer in the White House talking about, I'm on day 228 of girlhood, but I still have a dick that I put a giant Band-Aid on to look like a Barbie pouch. This is what the left wants America to become. Give us your children. We're controlling the schools. We're controlling your finances. We're controlling your life. You will own nothing. You will be dependent on the government. And that's what they want. And we want your guns. Incredibly bright and impressive is what the White House says about John Fetterman. Defended him today after this train wreck of a debate. He could not answer simple questions. And he refuses, was asked twice at the debate about releasing his medical records by the moderator, and both times said, my doctor, my real doctor says I'm fit to serve and that's all that matters. The doctor that donated to his campaign, by the way. They don't care. The Democrats do not care. They're in it to win it. They're in it for the power. They're in it to retain power at any cost. That is a fact. There's no fear-mongering here. All right, because that's what the Democrats accuse us of, especially people like me and right-wing talking heads and pundits and outlets, that we're fear-mongers. We're Trump cult members, and we're fear-mongers to try to fear people into electing insurrectionist Republican candidates. That's how they paint the whole picture. And they're going to keep pushing this envelope. This envelope. I truly, I'm concerned. I was really optimistic about the midterms. A part of me still is. I don't want to be doom and gloom. I want to be a realist. I am not a fan, again, of the early voting. I wish Republicans would not partake in early voting. And I wish every Republican would take a stance and say, we're voting on election day. And not everybody agrees. Not everybody agrees with me. Even some Republicans are like, no, early voting is great because if something happens on election day, make sure nothing happens on election day. Is this country, is our republic, are your freedoms, your financial stability, your lifestyle not important enough where you can't take the day off, even if it means not getting paid for that day, to do the right thing and to make sure that the people we need elected get elected so they could legislate and maybe work to make our lives a little bit better? Or a lot better at this point. I mean, isn't it? Take the day off. In Florida, as of today, about this morning when I got some numbers from people, a lot of people voted in Florida. 544,632 Republicans voted by mail. Why are Republicans voting by mail? Why? It does not make sense. If you're a Republican, conservative, constitutionalist, you love this country, then you will agree that we have an election day, not an election season. Unless you have something that you know you're not going to be available or you're going to be out of town, away from your voting district, and you have to vote by mail. Okay, not really happy about it. This election is one of the most important elections. I think it's the most important, one of the most important elections in my lifetime. And next, in 2 years, it'll be even more important, 2024. 544,000 plus Republicans voted by mail in Florida as of today. 612,000 plus Democrats voted by mail in Florida as of today. In-person early voting, 116,000 plus Republicans voted in person early. And only 70,000 plus Democrats voted in person early. Total votes right now for both voting in person and voting by mail, early voting in person and voting by mail, 660,875 Republicans, 682,672 Democrats. State of Florida, everybody. State of Florida. This is the state of Florida as of today. Voting by mail and in-person early voting. Democrats were leading. This was, I had posted this about 10 or so hours ago, this morning. Democrats are only leading by 21,797 votes. That's based on voter registration. State of Florida. Why are Republicans voting by mail? And why are a crap ton more Republicans voting early than Democrats? It's everywhere. I'm hearing numbers in Pennsylvania of half a million people voted already, which is a lot, which they say might be unusual. I don't know that for sure to be fact, if that is unusual or not. I am hearing from multiple sources that about a half a million people voted in Pennsylvania already early voting. I'm not voting early. I'm voting on December 8th. I'm taking my ass to the poll. I don't care if I have to stand online for an hour. I'm not taking the chance of not having my vote. I want to be there with my vote on election day, and I want to know. It's, I don't know. I just, again, you tell me in the comments, people, do you think early voting is advantageous to Republicans? Or do you believe that voting in person the day of, on election day, is pivotal and the most important thing you could do? I really want to know what everybody thinks. I read the comments everywhere. John Fetterman, train wreck. Complete train wreck. If he wins a Senate seat in Pennsylvania, it just proves, well, one, that there's probably a good chance there's a lot of corruption going on, which I hear from people in Pennsylvania that there is a lot of corruption, tremendous amount of corruption in elections in Pennsylvania. I don't know for sure. I'm in New York. This is what I hear. Yes, voting in person on election day. Yes, important. I have people telling me it's not great advice and it's how Republicans get beaten and that moron Dick Morris, who wrote a book, who's always wrong anyway and just tries to stay relevant, says it's early voting is good. I don't buy it. Stop the early voting. It's not election season. It's not election season. It's election day. If you have a reason for an absentee ballot and you meet that criteria, I get it. But don't sit home on your fat ass and fill out a mail-in ballot, fold it up, lick a stamp, put it on there, and put it in the mailbox. Because, well, now I don't have to worry about going and waiting online. Well, then obviously you don't care too much about saving this republic, because it starts November 8th. When the polls close and we find out who wins and we find out who loses And if you're not going to vote, if you're one of those people saying, well, it's rigged enough where I'm not going to vote because I'm not wasting my time because it's not going to count, blah, blah, blah. Well, you're an asshole and you just voted for Democrats by staying home. That's a fact. They are in it for blood. They're in it for blood. Yeah, the late debates are ridiculous. Or debating way into this early voting. Same thing happened with Zeldin and Hochul. Or they wouldn't debate. They were stalling. They would only say, oh, we'll debate once. And that same thing that happened in New York with Zeldin and Hochul. And Kathy Hochul, she is a vile, vile, evil, evil, vile individual. Without a doubt. I mean, we'll get into that. She dodged so many questions. She was nonchalant. She didn't care. She was very pompous. She was arrogant. And again, New York needs to wake up. I'm in New York. The good thing I could say is it's very unusual that the Republican candidate for governor is neck and neck in the polls, even pulling ahead a little bit by a point. Very, very narrow, but it's still not common. And I'm hearing a lot of Democrats in New York say that this is the first year they're going to be voting Republican for governor, and prominent Democrats coming out and endorsing Lee Zeldin. Lee Zeldin made he was great in the debate. I mean, the New York Supreme Court just passed, was it yesterday or the day before, last 2 days, that anyone, especially in New York City, anyone who was fired because they did not get the mandated vaccine that their employers or municipalities were making them get must be rehired, reinstated with back pay, which I think is amazing. Because what the state did was, by mandating it to keep your job, or what New York City did and what jobs and municipalities did, was illegal. And it's great. And that should happen everywhere, and especially should happen to our military. Kathy Hochul at the debate last night actually said that if she had to do it all over again, she would fire everyone again. Cops, firemen, teachers, everybody that they lost their job because of what the mandate she put in place on a state level, she would do it again. This is someone who's running for governor who makes Andrew Cuomo look like a Boy Scout. She is Satan in a dress, I think worse. And she made a statement about, she was asked about the CDC and possible adding the COVID vaccine to the schedule of children's vaccines for school. She danced around and she said, well, not at this time. Not at this time. She'll reevaluate it. She wants, because she was hard on that when this all started last year with the forcing kids to get vaccinations, the COVID vaccine, in order to attend school. That's what she wanted, and that's what she still wants. She wants that. She also wants kids in New York to be masked. She still wants that. She's not happy that she had to not enforce that mandate anymore. Sorry, I had a bit of a brain fart. I had a John Fetterman. She's not happy that she had to tell everybody that in September the kids can go to school without masks. She was so excited last year after all of the teachers crowded every bar in New York all summer long, shoulder to shoulder, with no mask mandates, and nobody was getting COVID, and everybody was out at the clubs, at the bars, partying here, there, everywhere. All the school teachers, up until the last weekend of summer, and then it was, okay, you have to return to school, and everyone has to wear a mask, including the children. That was last September. That was when I pulled my kid out of the public school. Now, she's unhappy that she had to lift that mandate, but she's very excited that if she wins as the governor of New York, that she could still have those emergency powers. She hasn't relinquished them. They have not gone away. That she will at some point either force masking or force children to have to get the vaccine, the COVID vaccine, to attend school. And Lee Zeldin's over here saying, well, I'm never going to mandate it. I'm never going to tell you that you have to get your kid vaccinated to go to public school. And he's promoting and supporting people getting their job back who was fired. Again, the problem with New York is the sick progressives that live in the city, the five boroughs, especially Manhattan. It's so dense there, they basically dictate who becomes governor of New York. They always have. But I have hope. I have hope that Lee Zeldin will win and we may see a bit of a change, because in the last local election cycle, we had a bit of a red wave on Long Island. Nassau County with the DA, county executive, town board, they all flipped Republican, and some seats out in Suffolk County as well. And looks like we may have two Republicans win, Long Island Republicans win in the congressional seats there. So that's looking good. I'm not happy with New York. I mean, the number one issue in New York right now is crime. I live 40 minutes out of the city, and I wouldn't even think about going to the city for dinner or anything like that, because you're taking your life in your own hands, even in broad daylight in some of the nicest neighborhoods. You run the risk of walking around on the Upper West Side, Upper East Side, beautiful, beautiful, high-end, affluent neighborhood, okay, where the average rent is, you know, I don't know, $8,000 for, probably, I don't know, 2,000-square-foot loft in the sky, maybe more, $20 million condos. And you have to worry about walking out of your building with a doorman walking down the street and getting stabbed in the back with a screwdriver by some whack job criminal while using the ATM machine. And that whack job criminal who beats the snot out of you and takes the $40 you were taking out of the ATM machine gets arrested, and then he's out in time for dinner. I mean, that's legit. Kathy Hochul, again, she doesn't care about crime. She's pro criminal. She's anti police, and she just kind of scoffs when says, "Well, asking about criminals in jail," and she says, "Well, I don't know why that's so important to you." Like she says it right here.
This governor, who still to this moment, we're halfway through the debate, she still hasn't talked about locking up anyone committing any crimes.
Okay.
Anyone who commits a crime under our laws, especially with the change we made to bail, has consequences. Bullshit. I don't know why that's so important to you. All I know is that
I don't know why that's so important to you. How could the sitting governor not know why crime is so important, not only to Lee Zeldin, governor candidate, but to New Yorkers? And the changes with cash bail. No. I'm sorry, but the same individual can commit the same crime 40, 50, 60 times and get arrested 40, 50, 60 times and be released without bail 40, 50, 60 times, no matter what their record reflects, no matter what their past crimes are. Why is that? What rational people allow that to happen? And so then we talked about the vaccine before. And she dances around the whole vaccine issue with, you know, not right now. Like I had said, I have that clip too. Listen to her about the vaccine.
Thank you. We're going to move on to COVID. Earlier today, President Biden received his updated COVID booster ahead of a possible winter surge. The CDC is urging people to wear masks now in 10 upstate counties where COVID community levels are considered high. Yet, Mrs. Hochul, you have lifted COVID regulations from masking to vaccine requirements. Can you explain why you made that decision? And will you follow the CDC's recommendation to add COVID vaccines to children's vaccine schedules?
1 year ago when I became governor, we were still experiencing the effects of the Delta variant.
Stop
and it was scary. And children weren't able to get back to school unless we directed them to make sure that they had the opportunity to wear a mask. A mask was able to get kids back into schools. That is important to me, to keep children in schools. But at this point now, we have so many vaccines available. Remember, it wasn't that long ago when they were in short supply. Lines around the block. There was nothing at the pharmacy. There was a real panic around this. Now, because we have plentiful vaccine supply and everybody should get their booster. I had my booster. I'm getting my flu shot tomorrow. You know, we have this triple threat. We have seen what's happening in other states, and I'll be addressing it tomorrow. The respiratory illnesses for children. More COVID cases, as well as the flu. It's all coming together.
So would you mandate a COVID vaccine for children or no?
Not at this time. I'm going to talk about parental control over this, but I'd also say it's something that comes down to the legislature anyhow. The legislature makes the determination in consultation with health experts for next year's school year. You're talking about this year. We're not talking about mandating a vaccine for children in school
about
at this time.
Year.
But I'm encouraging, highly, highly encouraging.
Well, first of all, right now, the state legislature in New York is overwhelmingly majority Democrat. They rule the roost there, okay? So she just said, not at this time, not this year, but it's already out. It's already out, okay? And it's already out that she wants the COVID vaccine as part of children's vaccine schedule mandatory for schools. And she spoke about the masks last year, which she was so happy about, even though the entire summer nobody was wearing masks. It's like COVID took the summer off, and then all of a sudden they were like, ah, you know what, we're gonna come back and kill everybody again. COVID, I'm COVID, I'm just gonna come back and kill everybody. I didn't want to kill all the teachers or anybody hanging out in the bars making out and you know, drinking and falling all over each other. No. I'm going to come in September. And this is now her plan. Because what she just said, well, that's the legislature anyway, because she knows if she's elected governor, not reelected, because she's just there because Cuomo had to leave. He was killing grannies and spanking fannies and got, you know, caught up in that nonsense because the Democratic Party had no use for him anymore. And she's going to rely on the Democratic legislature that rules New York to propose and push through mandatory vaccines, COVID vaccines for children and boosties for children and to keep jobs, maybe, again, because they do what they want. And then she'll sign it into law as governor. And then she'll get what she wants next year. And it'll be like, oh, it's too late because she's already elected. And I'd like to say, yeah, she acts like everyone wants her there. But unfortunately, there are sickos that do want her there. I didn't see it. I couldn't tell. But if she was wearing it at the debate or if she's wearing it now running around New York campaigning, she actually has, I've mentioned this quite a few times, she has a gold nameplate. You know how women have their nameplates and they have their name? Well, she has one, except doesn't have her name. It says Vaxxed, V-A-X-X-E-D. She was very proud of it when she got it. And then around the time she got that, she stood behind a podium like Hitler and said, well, if you're against vaccines, you're against God. And that's what she said to New Yorkers. And she is the vile vax queen. She wants to jab all of your children in New York by force. She talks about parental control. She does not want parents to have any sort of control over their children in the school system, especially in the school system. And she's a the typical sick Democrat that wants to rule every aspect of your life. And then say that the Supreme Court is wrong and is illegitimate and racist and all of that. But then when we talk about vaccines, so you heard what she had to say. And then you have you have my boy Lee Zeldin give his response to the COVID vaccine mandates.
Zeldin, public school students are required to be vaccinated for everything from chickenpox to measles. But you've said you will not require COVID vaccines for students, but the CDC is recommending it. Can you explain your thinking?
Sure. And where my opponent just said she will not mandate COVID vaccines at this time. Let me be clear to all of the parents who are out there. I will not mandate COVID vaccines for your kids ever. I don't believe
that there should be
COVID vaccine mandates right now for our kids at SUNY and CUNY and community colleges and elsewhere. Where just over.
So the only, I didn't watch the debate live. I was just watching clips. I can't stomach these people for that long. I don't know. I would imagine there's a crowd in the room. You know, in New York, it's on New York One. I'm a little concerned because of the sick leftist liberals that reside in the city. New York One Spectrum News is it's basically a New York City based news station. When he turned around and said, if this debate was held like on Long Island, say with like News 12, I think it would have been a different crowd. And I think once he said that he will not mandate vaccines for children, I think there would have been a loud cheer in the room. I was very, very concerned about the lack of emotion in the room when he said that he would not mandate vaccines for kids. Maybe I'm just overthinking that. I don't know. But it's just something that when he said it, I was waiting for the, yeah, I'm not going to co-parent with the government, you know, something like that, like a Moms of Liberty roar, because I've seen him speak at rallies and the standing ovations he gets and the applause he gets for speaking against the vaccines and the mandates and the education in the schools and the CRT and the gender and the sexual identity and all of that nonsense that, you know, is not being taught in schools. If you ask any Democrat, no, that's only taught in college. Okay. Right. So again, that's where we're at in New York. Like, what do we got? What do we got? We have this vile woman that's just completely off her rocker. And then we have Lee Zeldin, current congressman. He's a military veteran. I believe he's still active reserves. Loves New York, loves America. And I'm hoping again, New York does the right thing and elects Lee Zeldin. And I really hope that Pennsylvania does the right thing and elects Dr. Oz as their state senator and Doug Mastriano as their governor. Pennsylvania, you got some work to do at the polls. Florida's got some work to do at the polls. New York, everyone has work to do at the polls. Everyone, no one is immune. Because if we fail to do what we need to do to get these people into these positions and give them their jobs and then keep the pressure on them to make sure that they're representing us and upholding and defending the United States Constitution, if we fail to do that, then we are going to galvanize and embolden the sick, pink-haired leftists, the boys that want to say that they're girls and the girls that want to say that they're boys and genitally mutilate your children and then come after people who want to protect the children, who want to protect babies from being murdered in the womb. We need to change the faces in the game. We need to vote out every Democrat we possibly can and get people that value our country and our freedoms and our Constitution. There was a rally in Nashville, Tennessee. I have a really quick clip of the protest. I believe Matt Walsh from the Daily Wire was there speaking. There's a rally in Nashville, Tennessee to end child mutilation. Can you imagine having to have a chat in 2022 to have a rally in Nashville, Tennessee to end child mutilation? Are we living in the fucking medieval times? Child mutilation. You know, 10-year-old boys, because their parents are so sick in their heads, are convinced that they want to cut off their dick and take chemical castration and puberty blockers. Chemical castration, medications, puberty blockers. Maybe when they get a little older, they can get fake breasts, lipstick. Harry wants to be Sally. And then a rally happens to end child mutilation, where actual rational thinking, caring, compassionate people that care about children and want to protect them are then faced with people like this.
Fuck you! Fuck you, you fucking white copper! Fuck you, you ugly piece of shit! You look like you got your teeth knocked out, you fucking fascist! Nobody knows who you are and nobody cares, and you will die alone! You will die alone and you will burn in hell!
That's the party of tolerance, acceptance, and love, if you hadn't heard. You will die alone, you fascist, you cracker. You will die, go to hell. Fuck you. This is what will dominate. Look at the... Just look. I'm not going to play it again. That is the face. That is the face right there of the tolerant and accepting left, who accepts all for who they are, except if you speak out against them. I'm assuming that's a biological male. I'm not sure what it identifies as. To me, it identifies as a savage piece of shit. And then you have the woman. I'm not going to play it because I really don't want to. This woman, she's laughing at him. Mutilation's not medicine. And she's just sitting there smiling and taking it and listening to this piece of garbage scream in her face in a megaphone. And that's a middle-aged woman. She's got to be in her 50s, right? And this garbage 20-something-year-old who probably doesn't have a job, gets some sort of government stimulus. This is America right now, people. It's America. And those are the people that John Fetterman, that Kathy Hochul, that Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Adam Schiff, Jamie Raskin, who want running loose in the country, promoting violence against us, against Supreme Court justices. And even those Democrats I just named despise and hate those pink-haired leftists. All of those Democrats despise and hate Black Lives Matter. All of those Democrats despise and hate homosexuals, transgenders, furries, you name it, they hate it, and they use them as their useful idiots because they know they can manipulate them into voting for them if they just say the right thing. When Joe Biden can literally have his transgender garbage come into the White House and interview him, when literally right now we have 25 days of oil left in our strategic petroleum reserves, where the Saudis are saying, yeah, you guys shouldn't use all your reserves, where people right now are actually rationing home heating oil. We're not even in November, and people who use oil to heat their homes are panicking, wondering what the prices are going to be. Are we going to be able to get oil? And if we do get oil, instead of $3.75 a gallon, are we going to be paying $10 a gallon? Because we have 25 days of oil left in our strategic petroleum reserves. Fact check that. But, you know, inflation, it's not a big deal. Going into a recession, it's not a big deal. Because the big issues are transgender rights, you know, Republican men forcing Democrat women to have babies. Give me a break. Yep. This is where we are in it, people. Information war. It is a war of epic, just societal proportion. That if we don't come through November 8th, it's the downfall, more than it is now. There was a survey that had just come out that nearly one in five Americans, they average about 18%, are skipping meals or didn't buy groceries because of the surging inflation and because groceries are that high. They're skipping meals. And we're not going to have dinner tonight because, well, we're only going to eat dinner four nights a week instead of seven. We're not going to eat lunch. And we're going to go real cheap. You know, frozen pizzas for everybody. Yeah, one of five Americans are skipping meals. I mean, everybody's laughing at us. Everybody's laughing. The world is laughing at us. They had some data come out too that the pandemic protocols caused unbelievable plummets in literacy and the largest decline in math scores in history. I have a 9-year-old. She's in the 5th grade. She'll be going into middle school next year. I always struggled in math. It was different though. I always struggled. She struggles in math to the point where it's anxiety driven. Like nervous about going to school because there might be a test. Like literally last night and tonight, 9 years. First of all, she comes home and she, you know, there's all this homework. She's struggling with math. And you know, when they closed schools and they were doing the remote learning, they learned nothing. They learned nothing remote learning. And then they're saying, you know, all the scores are down 30%. And nobody's really having the conversation about, well, who caused all that? We know who caused it all. But this is they care about, you know, climate change. Climate change is on the ballot. Abortion is on the ballot. Transgender rights is on the ballot. No, no, and no. No. Our rights are on the ballot. Our First Amendment right is on the ballot. Our Second Amendment right is on the ballot. Inflation, the economy. Getting people that are going to make sure we have fair and secure elections, if that could ever happen again. I have my doubts. We have all, you know, we got, but there's also good news out there. Arizona poll came out today. Carrie Lake is apparently blowing, Katie Hobbs out of the water. She's leading by like 11%. She's well into the double digits now. And they're worried about, and January 6th is on the ballot because we still care about that. People actually care. We care about January 6th. Get up all these insurrectionists in Congress. What's going to happen? They're going to install Donald Trump as the king, use the military, and the world is over. They're all QAnons. Get the fuck out of here. What is Q? QAnon? Stop. QAnon bullshit. Yeah, so election denying. It is election denying season. We're going to end with a little bit of a election denial talk, because what happened with the 2016 election? What happened in the 2000 election when they said Bush was selected and not elected? What happened in 2016? Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton. Every news media outlet said Donald Trump was an illegitimate president and he was selected and put in place because Russia interfered with our elections and made sure that Donald Trump became president. Still to this day, Democrats will call Donald Trump an illegitimate president and that the 2016 presidential election was hijacked from Hillary Clinton. She said it herself. And now Hillary Clinton is setting the stage for 2024 about how the Republican extremists are setting themselves up to steal the 2024 presidential election. Because, hey, why not spin it and get all the Democrat election denying juices flowing, because that's what they do. They are doing everything they accuse Republicans of doing. Oh, like gerrymandering, like inciting violence, like promoting violence and assassinations on Supreme Court justices and segregation and racisming. Democrats are big with the racisming. Big. So many racisms from the Democrats. But they're going to accuse the Republicans. We're the biggest racists of them all, because we want people to identify themselves in order to vote. Even black people want people to identify themselves in order to vote.
Well, that's racist.
No, you're just an asshole. So, everybody's favorite first lady, everybody's favorite former first lady and secretary of state, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and those child-eating eyes of hers, the supple adrenochrome-coated lips. Hillary Clinton, one of the biggest election deniers out there, bigger than any Republican you could think of. Hillary Clinton is a bigger election denier than Donald Trump. We know what happened in the 2020 election. They know what happened in the 2020 election because they did it. And they know what happened in the 2016 election. So Hillary Clinton, right here, our girl, look at her, look at her. She looks hungry in this photo. You better watch your kids, people. Hillary Clinton is ready to decorate for election denial season just a little early. Let's listen to what Hillary's got to say.
The 2022 midterm elections, and they are incredibly important.
Agree.
But we also have to look ahead. Because you know what? Our opponents certainly are. Right-wing extremists already have a plan to literally steal the next presidential election.
No.
And they're not making a secret of it. The right-wing-controlled Supreme Court may be poised to rule on giving state legislatures, yes, you heard me that correctly, state legislatures the power to overturn presidential elections.
No.
Just think, if that happens, the 2024
complete
presidential
lie.
Election could be decided not by the popular vote or even by the anachronistic electoral college, but by state legislatures, many of them Republican controlled.
Whoa. She hates the electoral college. Oh, because it didn't work in her favor. She wants the popular vote, which just completely destroys certain states. They don't even get a say on who becomes president. That's why the electoral college exists. And the state legislatures are not overturning presidential elections. They can certify and decertify. They think, they don't think. They're going to project the narrative that Republicans are in the process of doing all of this architecture work in the background in order to steal the 2024 elections. No, Republicans actually are doing work in order to keep elections fair. Fair. See, she is in favor of federally controlled elections, just like they wanted, just like they could not get passed. They don't want the states to have the power of their own, of over their own elections, the way it is now, the way the Constitution dictates it. Hillary Clinton, not only is she an election denier, but she is a Constitution hater. She is an America hater. All of these Democrats despise the Constitution. They think the Constitution was written by a bunch of morons who just won independence for our country. They stacked a bunch of bodies and then sat in a room and wrote this, the Constitution. And I think they did a really, really good job. But unfortunately, now progressive Democrats would like to take every copy of the Constitution, burn it like it never existed, and make us all live in high-rise apartments, driving electric cars with not enough electricity to charge them, own nothing, eat bugs, wait for your check, wait for your milk, get on the bread line, and fuck off. That is what they want. But then they spin and they say everything that they want, and they paint it as really bad as in a, but in a different way, as that's what Republicans want. We want this fascist society under dictator rule, because that's what fascism is, to be ruled under a dictator, a tyrant. That's not what Republicans want. Republicans are not looking to install Donald Trump as king and have him forever. Forget about Donald Trump. I would imagine, let's do, you know, you do a real survey and you surveyed 1 million Republicans and 1 million Democrats and asked them what they thought of the United States Constitution as written. I would imagine out of that was 1 million Republicans, you probably have 95% or more say that the Constitution is pivotal for our republic to thrive and survive. Where I would imagine a lot of Democrats would say, well, it's kind of antiquated and it's framed in racisming and racisms. There's so many racisms in the Constitution. And, you know, we really should have 16-year-olds voting. We should have ballot harvesting and ballot boxes and no voter ID. No one should have to identify themselves. And everything is awesome. And everything is queer. And everything is trans. And everything is gay. And if you speak out against it, you should be imprisoned and lose all of your rights and never allowed to see the light of day again. It's funny. It really sounds like crazy exaggeration what I just said. But all those things are things that prominent Democrats out there and activists have actually said that they would love to see. I mean, they talk about they'd like to exterminate Republicans, exterminate white people. Oh, and by the way, in case you didn't know, because everything is racist. Airline fees for extra legroom on airplanes is now racist. It affects people of color. Not just because you might be just a fat fuck or maybe a little too tall and you have to pay extra for a little legroom, which I think it's ridiculous anyone would have to pay to get a little more leg room, or maybe if you, unless you're upgrading to first class. But like if you're 400 pounds and you have to buy the seat next to you, yeah, I would say you're 400 pounds. You should have to buy the seat next to you if you want to fly, because I'm not getting in the middle of you and you know, another 300 pounder, you know? But yes, airlines, Alan, you're being fat phobic again. I'm sorry. I'm not. Airline fees Phalegrin is racist. And if you don't believe me, if you're saying, what the hell is Alan talking about? What do you mean leg room? What do you mean leg room is racist? What are you talking about? Well, I learned it from watching him.
Decision. Some airlines, if you want 6 more inches between you and the seat in front, you pay more money. But you don't know it until you purchase your ticket. Look, folks, these are junk fees. They're unfair, and they hit marginalized Americans, the hardest, especially low-income folks and people of color. They benefit big corporations, not consumers.
All right, so the whole first part of that, I agree with. I got to give it to them. Junk fees, that they're stupid. I don't like all these extra fees, the baggage fees. I get it. Marginalized. Low income. He could have stopped at low income. I would have been okay with that. I would have been. So I'm going to play it again, but I'm going to stop it where I'd be okay with.
Some airlines, if you want 6 more inches between you and the seat in front, you pay more money. But you don't know it until you purchase your ticket. Look, folks, these are junk fees. They're unfair. Agreed. And they hit marginalized Americans.
All right, stop. Marginalized Americans, I think it's a stupid statement.
Americans, the hardest, especially low-income folks.
Low-income folks. Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. I hate big corporate. Corporate airlines, whatever. I think, you know, to pay extra for another 6 inches of legroom, I think is completely ridiculous. But then this last part.
And people of color.
People of color. This again is Joey Bag of Donuts showing, well, the Democrats, because he didn't think of that, showing their racism again, because, well, everything has to do with race. Oh, yeah, let's just throw people of color in there because we're Democrats, and we think that all people of color are low income, and they're pieces of shit. They're minorities. They're low lives. We'll get them out to vote. They mean nothing to us. They're useful idiots. So, yeah. Crazy times, people. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. But not early. Don't go to the polls until November 8th. I get it. You don't agree with me, but I'm telling you. This early voting, this election season is going to be the downfall of our country, and it needs to end. It needs to end now. It should have ended. It should have never started. Election day. They are in violation of the Constitution of the United States. It does not say anywhere in here that we should have an election season. It's election day. It is election day. Pennsylvania, do what's right. Elect Dr. Oz. Elect Doug Mastriano. New York, Lee Zeldin, governor. Do it. Get it done. Do your part. Share this video on Facebook. Subscribe anywhere else. We lost the live stream, so we lost the Rumble stream. I couldn't get it up in time. But, We are live on Facebook. That's where, you know, the video will be up on the Rumble channel. We're also over on Getter. So please hit the share button. And hey, our sponsor, My Patriot Cigars, head over there. If you're into cigars or you know somebody that is, mypatriotcigars.com, you get 15% off your order, free shipping on orders over $100. Every box of cigars comes with a $10 e-gift card. The sampler pack is on there, so you can get one of each cigar and see which one you like. And if you have someone in the family, the holidays are coming. If you don't want to actually buy cigars, there are gift cards on the website. If you purchase cigars and use the promo code CIGAR15, you get the 15% off. MyPatriotCigars.com. The gift cards have been flying out the door because the holidays are coming. So with that, so really quick, I am now, so you know that if you watch the show, I do Monday Madness and I do Freedom Fridays with James Curry from We the People Radio. We the People Radio, James Curry's been, he's had that show for about 3 years and he's got a very, very, very large following. So we do the collaboration on Monday and Friday. His two co-hosts on We the People Radio are both taking a step back for personal reasons and business reasons and things like that. So I'm actually now going to be co-hosting on Tuesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern for We the People Radio with James Curry. So I will be there every Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. You'll still get me every Monday and Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern right here. And then Friday, you'll get us on Freedom Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And then, of course, I co-host the Great Steak Breakfast with the boys from the Steak for Breakfast podcast on Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern. And by the way, we're going to have an election special with the Steak for Breakfast podcast hosts, Roan and Noah, on November 8th. It's going to be the Great Steak election special on November 8th. It'll be in the evening and we'll be watching the polls and commentating on it and talking about who's winning and who's losing and things like that. That'll be on November 8th. So a lot of stuff going on. And of course, if you are a Lindell TV watcher, tomorrow it's Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern. I always appear on Thursdays with Roger Stone on the Stone Zone on Lindell TV over at frankspeech.com. Actually, Lindell TV 2 at frankspeech.com every Thursday at 5 p.m. I'm like broken glass. I am all over the place. Hit the share on Facebook. Hit the follow. Follow me over on Truth Social at the Great Divide Podcast. I have a verified account over there. Follow me there. Truth Social, it's a place to be. You have no excuse. It's on the Google Play Store now. It's especially in the Apple Store, but now it is available on Google Play in the Google Store. The Google Store. Yeah, I can't even talk. The Google Store. Truth Social. Download it. There's no excuse. All right, everybody. Until then, I will see you all. Today's Wednesday. I'll see you on Freedom Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here. Talk to you soon.